no customer support team at Verizon or AT&T are going to be comfortable saying, there's nothing I can do to help you. You've lost your number. Not your keys, not your coin. It's not your keys, not your number. If you choose Lightning Auth as your authentication method to secure your account and you lose your wallet, we cannot do anything for you. We cannot modify your account. That's one of the reasons why the big three can't do it. But for Bitcoiners, they expect that. That's how their coins work.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Jeremy Hill, who's the CEO of Cloaked Wireless. Cloaked Wireless is a new mobile provider that makes SIM swap attacks impossible. In today's interview, we talk about how they do this and why it could be important for both you and your family, as well as the larger vision that Cloaked has to create a more open and decentralized internet. If you like what you hear from Jeremy today and want to give Cloaked Wireless a try for yourself, you can use the code BIZBIT2024 to get 25% off your first month. I have that link down in the show notes below. Before we get to today's interview, I do want to take a second to thank those who have been supporting the podcast on Fountain in the last week. Thank you to Ilde Pickman, No Waste BTC Signs, and Farscapian for streaming sats to the show. I actually had a chance to meet Farscapian in person a couple weekends ago in Austin for the Top Builder competition, and it's always fun to be able to put a name with a face. Thank you also to user 517093 for your boost, and to Nate Long as well, who sent a comment with his boost saying, loving the way Albi fits into the decentralized ecosystem, talking about last week's episode with Moritz Kaminsky. If you would like to support the podcast as well, one of the ways you can do this is to listen on Fountain and either stream sats as you listen or send a boost. And of course, if you send a boost with a message, I'll be sure to read that message on the show. Now, for this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight, we have the KC Bitcoiners. KC Bitcoiners is a meetup group based in the Kansas City metro area with both morning and evening meetups every month. All levels of Bitcoiners are welcome. And for any business owners out there, they have several members who have experience onboarding merchants to Bitcoin. For more info about future events, check them out at kcbitcoiners.com or on Twitter at kcbitcoiners. Those links are down below, along with a link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Jeremy right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, you bet. Go ahead.
When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
So the first time I had a real conversation about Bitcoin was with Matt Corral or Blue Matt. My brother was the founding CEO over at Blockstream. And so during one of Blockstream's first kind of team get-togethers, offsites, I had the privilege of sitting around with some of the giants of Bitcoin and talking about Bitcoin. And I remember at the time having this conversation saying, you know, I just don't think that Bitcoin at $235 is sustainable. and Matt Corello telling me like, no, really, it works. Like it does work as a money thing. And course, took me a couple of years after that before I you know, bought my first Bitcoin. But that was my kind of first orange pill.
And that kind of helps me. Well, first of all, I didn't come to Bitcoin until 2021. And by then, I feel like there was just a lot of things that were tried and true about Bitcoin already. Now there's, you know, still people building new things on Bitcoin. There's always these conversations going on. What should we add to the protocol? What should we not? But I've wondered how I would have reacted back then. It's easy to say, oh, like I would have just, you know, bought Bitcoin at 200 and stuck it out. But you hear about all these stories of people that, you know, bought it, you know, at $12, sold it at 24, thinking they made a killing. It really helps you to appreciate someone like Hal Finney that was like, hey, this could maybe go to like $1 million someday. Like that's visionary power that very few people in this space had. And it's just really cool to see that.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to understand the journey from from there to where I am today. You know, I'm a pretty staunch Bitcoin maxi today, and my first introduction with it was with some of the early core developers sitting around, people like Greg Maxwell, right? And but in between those two things, you know, I had that conversation with Matt when Bitcoin was $230. I didn't buy my first Bitcoin until it was 2000. Yeah. And then shortly after, sold it all and messed around with alts for way longer than I should have, only to finally come back and realize, what the hell am I doing? There's only one coin I should be holding, you know. And I think a lot of people who today, you know, believe that there's really one coin, and then there's a whole bunch of altcoins. I think a lot of those people often went on a similar journey mm-hmm. as that. So it's rare that you get folks who learn about Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin, and stay with Bitcoin. Oftentimes, it's that you have to go full cycle, unfortunately.
Question number two is this: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
I think for me, it's the understanding that it's really the first time we have an open source and decentralized protocol that you can invest in. You know, if we think about the IP protocol, right, and the fact that it ultimately enabled the internet to be a thing, you couldn't invest in IP protocol. Even if you believed that it was, you know, that this internet thing was going to blow up, you had to invest in companies that were building things on top of the internet. In the same way that today within the ecosystem, you can invest in Bitcoin companies and people building things on top of Bitcoin. But for the first time, the protocol itself is something that you can purchase and invest in. And I think that's another really unique feature of Bitcoin.
Question number three: what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
I think a lot of the content that Sailor has created and put out, especially for businesses, there's a lot of questions that I think come up, certainly as an executive or an owner of a business, when it comes to your fiduciary responsibilities and managing the finances of your business, when you introduce this new currency or element into that finance. And so I think Sailor's done a great job of producing content for businesses to help them, either whether it's holding it on their treasury, accepting it as payment for their goods. I think he's done a great job of putting together kind of resources to help businesses get there.
Absolutely. Question number four, this kind of goes outside of focusing on Bitcoin. Beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work at Cloaked Wireless recently?
Well, certainly lately, AI has certainly started to play a role. I think it enables us to be a lot more efficient in what we do, you know, and I think we'll see that across different industries where it starts to get used day to day. Is not so much as a replacement for someone, but just a technology that enables us to do two or three times more than we would have been able to do had we been doing everything from A to Z. So I think that's one we'll continue to focus on because it's already introduced a lot of efficiencies to what we're doing.
So to focus in on that a little bit more, it's interesting because I feel like early on, you know, like a year ago, people were giving that type of answer a whole lot more. It seems like people have backed off, at least on this podcast, talking about AI for that particular answer. That said, I feel like it could be partially that it is just so ubiquitous now that people are using it. I don't feel like I'm using it as much as I should. So for me and for other people who may be listening to this right now, do you have any recommendations, like the ways to incorporate AI that you found to be most valuable as a founder?
Yeah, so I think some simple ways, and again, I think it can't replace these expertise, but I think it can make them more efficient. So we've leveraged it in certain legal, you know, like drafting a quick agreement between two parties, you know, that we just want to draft up simple agreement between us. We can use AI to do that initial draft for us. Mm-hmm. In content creation, if we want to deep dive into a certain topic or we've got an idea that we want to flesh out, we can have that drafted and fleshed out by AI, which allows us to, instead of having to write the entire piece, go in and say, okay, well, tweak this part, make this part, but nope, that doesn't check, that doesn't, you know, invalidate all the facts, still produce great content, but we're able to produce two or three times as much content as a result. And even as we enter into, you know, the kind of the dawn of coding with AI, you know, I think we're just now starting to see solutions that are going on the web, researching topics, downloading APIs, coding, spinning up databases, all from one prompt. And so I don't think those types of software are going to enable you to entirely replace an engineer, but it might enable that engineer to accomplish three or four times as much as they would without a tool like that.
Yeah.
So that those are kind of some of the areas where we're using it today and where we are potentially looking to use it more in the future.
So now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
So had you asked a much younger Jeremy, the answer would inevitably have been why not? I think now it's much more why. And I say that one as an entrepreneur, I think you have to be really, really good at challenging yourself and asking yourself, you know, why are you the right person to solve this? Why is your solution the best? And ask yourself those hard questions, because other people will ask them. So you have to be able to answer that. And on the other side, I think it's also just the value of time. You know, if you're going to do something, if it's really worth your time and you really do value your time, you should question yourself, why? Why am I doing it? Why am I dedicating or spending what I consider to be one of the most valuable resources out there, which is your time? Why is that worth doing? You know, and there may be a good answer to that, but you should at least ask the question why.
Yeah. If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at veluscommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. So Jeremy, we're here today to talk about your business, Cloaked Wireless. First of all, it would be great to hear a little bit about the business, but also the kind of the process you have to go through. You've just gone through a process where you've gotten some final approvals, you're able to launch, go live. And to me, this seems like a pretty monumental thing. So I'd love just for you to talk about the business as a mobile provider, like what you provide and kind of the process it's taken to get to this point.
Yeah, for sure. So 2 years, I guess 2.5 years ago, we founded the parent company, which is called Cloak Services. It's a Canadian company. And my co-founder and I, Jonathan Wilkins, who was the founding CSO at Blockstream, and then again, founding CSO at River Financial, we re-met because we originally met about 20 years ago when we worked together at Zero Knowledge Systems with Adam Back and my brother Austin. So we reconnected about 2.5 years ago and decided to start Cloak Services. And the objective of Cloak Services was really to create the world's most private and secure ways to communicate, both online and through wireless. And when we sat down and really looked at the problems that we wanted to solve and which ones we wanted to solve first, SYN swapping was a really big one on the list. Jonathan had experienced it firsthand at Blockstream when one of his teammates was, they saw it, the SYN swap happened live. The phone went dead. They, were calling around trying to stop the damage, shutting down accounts. And the more we looked at it, we realized that, hey, if we can't lock down your own mobile device with the number of places that are using SMS-based two-factor authentication, you really can't have the level of privacy and security that you need. You're just too many people are vulnerable from that type of attack. And so, for us, it was really clear what the solution was that if, 100% of SYN swap attacks, and just for people who maybe don't know, a SYN swap attack is when somebody either bribes or convinces your mobile provider to modify your wireless account and allocate your wireless account to some other device. And they do that by changing the SYN. And so someone will call up pretending to be you. They'll say, hey, I lost my phone. And, here's all the information that I can give you, but I don't remember my PIN, and convince the operator to make that change. And what they'll do is then they'll go into your online accounts, your bank account, anywhere that uses SMS two-factor authentication, and then reset passwords, gain access, and cause a lot of havoc, stealing money, conning families and friends. And so for us, the solution was really simple. If 100% of SYN swap attacks are the result of someone else modifying the customer's account, don't let anyone else modify the customer account, except the customer. It's glaringly obvious, but no one else was providing that solution. So we decided to launch Cloaked Wireless. And because we're a Canadian company, and also just the loopholes you have to jump through in order to launch a wireless company requires a lot of FCC approval, in addition to DOJ approval. There's a lot of three-letter acronym government agencies that need to get their hands and touch it and okay it. But yeah, after about a two-year process, we finally got approval earlier this month and launched the service officially last week.
I think it would be helpful to also kind of get a picture of mobile providers. Like, obviously, we know about AT&T, Verizon, all these others. But what does it look like? What is the model for you? I think a lot of people know about Mint. There are some others that people may have heard advertised. What does that model look like? How does that whole world work?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as you mentioned, the top three are called MNOs, or mobile network operators. They typically have very high customer acquisition costs. So their customer acquisition costs can be north of $300. Reason for that is because they're giving away free phones. They're giving away HBO Max. They're giving away all these perks because to distinguish between the three can be hard sometimes. And so in order to entice customers, from AT&T to go to Verizon or Verizon to go to T-Mobile, they really do need these big incentives. When we go down a level, you go to the MVNOs, or the mobile virtual network operators, which Cloaked Network or Cloaked Wireless is an MVNO. Typically, their customer acquisition costs are quite a bit lower. And the reason for that is that they're really focused on a specific vertical, whereas the big three have to go broad. They have to cover, a very broad audience, whereas the MVNOs typically go in and focus on one vertical with a specific value prop. We're no contracts and low cost. We're the Republican wireless company, or we're the Democrat wireless company, of which there are MVNOs who focus on those type of things. And so when we looked at it, for us, our focus was really on, a couple verticals, people in the InfoSec or IT world who need to protect the businesses they work with, obviously Bitcoiners and folks even within the broader cryptocurrency community who are victims of these types of attacks. And then obviously, high wealth individuals and celebrities, again, all folks who are typically targeted for these types of attacks. And so because we're in a tighter vertical, our customer acquisition cost is quite a bit lower, which kind of levels the playing field when it comes to competing with kind of the big three.
And you kind of just laid out some of the people that you're trying to reach. On your website, you mentioned specifically Bitcoiners. Could you talk a little bit about how you're planning to market to Bitcoiners specifically? Is it just having the ethos of a Bitcoiner yourself, or are there some additional things that really help you to stand out to the Bitcoiner crowd?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, Jonathan and I obviously both been in the Bitcoin community for quite a while. And I think, one of the things that's exciting for us is that if you go back, really go back to early days, it was a bunch of Bitcoiners in a hotel, in a very small, you know, hotel room at some of the first Bitcoin conferences, right? So Bitcoiners had each other, and then they had some conferences. And then, you know, we had travel agencies, and we had, you know, restaurants. And then we had a country that was adopting it, right? And now we have a wireless company, right? A wireless company for Bitcoiners made by Bitcoiners, right? And when we built this, you know, like I was saying, the original inspiration was those Blockstream guys who had, you know, witnessed that SimSwap attack. This is a solution that we wanted to be able to deliver and give to the Bitcoin community, because that's where we came from. And so our initial customer acquisition and release has been almost exclusively within the Bitcoin community, and the support that we've seen back has been spectacular from that group. Being a privacy and security company, obviously, I think resonates with Bitcoiners a lot, and just the way that we've approached our solution has been inspired by Bitcoin, right? Not your keys, not your coin. It's not your keys, not your number. If you choose Lightning Auth as your authentication method to secure your account, and you lose your wallet, We cannot do anything for you. We cannot modify your account. Call your credit card company, tell them to cancel the charges, but we cannot modify your account. You've lost your number. And so that's one of the reasons why the big three can't do it, because no customer support team at Verizon or AT&T are going to be comfortable saying, there's nothing I can do to help you. You've lost your number. But for Bitcoiners, they expect that. That's how their coins work. And so, and frankly, they prefer that over the idea of there being 1,000 or 5,000 support operators who have the ability to go in and modify things in their account.
Yeah, I forget if it was maybe, I'm thinking like Alex Fetsky or someone in that vein who talked about Bitcoin as responsibility go up technology instead of number go up technology. And I love that. And I do think that there is a large amount of the population that doesn't want to go there. But I love the ability to take responsibility for the results in my life. I think there are a lot of Bitcoiners that feel the same. So it's really cool to kind of to think through the implications of what it looks like to be able to take back control in your life. Like, it does require more responsibility, but you also have more sovereignty because of that. You mentioned that the response has been good. What have been some of the more like specific types of feedback you've gotten? Either there's like people really excited about it, or maybe even some feedback that has sharpened your offer and or messaging.
Yeah, so we did some kind of beta testing before we launched. We were able to get some great feedback. I mean, just, you know, everything from, hey, you know, a coverage map would be great rather than just a yes, no on am I covered, right? And, you know, so things as simple as that, all the way to, you know, bugs that we discovered within the dashboard that enabled to fix it. I mean, some of the feedback that's driven our roadmap and made us reprioritize is multi-line functionality. So, you know, within the first 2 days, we had folks saying, listen, I want to bring my whole family over. I've got five lines I want to bring over. Can I have it all within the same dashboard? Can I manage all of them at the same time? And so that was already in development, but then hearing that reinforced, a lot of folks saying, hey, we'd love to see that. So that's one of the ones. I mean, we've spoken to a couple customers who've called in with some real horror stories of themselves being serial victims of SimSwap attacks. Some folks calling in, you know, coming out of bad relationships where they've had exes who have messed around with their accounts at AT&T or Verizon. And so it's heartening to hear those stories. I mean, you know, my heart goes out to them, but it's great to know that that's not something those people are going to be worrying about anymore once they make that switch over. And so that kind of, again, brings a great feeling to know that solution that we've brought to market is really helping people who have been victimized by these types of attacks.
When it comes to SimSwap attacks, my assumption is that generally speaking, it's going to be people of significant means, which a lot of Bitcoiners, as they hold their Bitcoin, will likely get to that point, especially if they've been in the space for a number of years. You also mentioned, you know, people who have family or relationship issues or anticipate that potential in the future. Are there other people that are targeted, or is it one of those things where, hey, some random day you could just find out that you were SimSwapped for no apparent reason?
Yeah, it's a great question, and absolutely what you said is true. So if you are a high profile person, whether it's in Bitcoin or a big influencer or whatever that case may be, you absolutely have a target on your back. I mean, Jeff Booth, I think, just recently was SIM swapped. Preston Pish, I think, was recently swapped. Jack Dorsey, famously, you know, back in, it was like as far back as, I want to say 2009, I think it was 2009 when Jack Dorsey was famously SIM swapped and they hacked his Twitter account. So your high profile folks are definitely going to be targeted more. I think what people don't realize, though, is that last year there's an estimated about 250,000 victims in the US of SIM swap attacks. And those were not all high profile folks. You know, one of our investors, Michael Turpin, who famously lost $38 million in a SIM swap attack, where they went in and stole a whole bunch of money from an exchange, a whole bunch of coins from an exchange that he had. You know, there are those examples, and I think that's what people think about in SIM swap attacks. And so they say, well, I'm not really, you know, I don't have that kind of money. All my coin is on a cold storage, so it's not a threat. I think what they don't realize is that it's not necessarily, you know, if they gain access to your Facebook and your Twitter and your Instagram account, they're not going to steal your Bitcoin, right? Like, that's not how it works. What they're going to do is reach out to your family and your friends, and then they're going to get information from them, and then they're going to con those folks. And inevitably, people that you care about, even though you're savvy and you didn't have any coins on any exchanges, the people that trust you and care about you are now at risk of becoming a victim. And I think that's where the real damage is that once that SIM swap happens and you realize that, hey, why is my phone not working? They've already done their homework. They already know all the accounts that they're going to hack. The second that SIM swap happens, four or five different people are sitting there going into separate accounts, changing passwords and doing damage that is already planned out. And so I think that's the really damaging and devastating part. I think that the last thing I'd say to that, I think, is that people would be surprised at how many services that they use rely on SMS two-factor authentication to change passwords and gain access to that account. You have this really messed up problem that happened with two-factor authentication, is that when it first came out, SMS was the thing. Everything was, this solves everything, because we're going to send it, and if they have the device, then we know it's them. And so they offloaded this massive security responsibility to phone companies. And phone companies weren't made to be security services, right? Phone companies were made to be phone companies. But then they were straddled with this responsibility of securing all of these platforms because they controlled the SMS. And that's what's broken. And so ultimately, we want to see SMS and voice-based two-factor authentication abolished, which would make this solution not required. And we'd be thrilled to see that happen. But until then, we believe this is the best solution to that problem.
I guess I'm thinking here, in a lot of ways, cloaked wireless is almost like insurance for yourself and protecting you and even some of your family potentially. What does it cost to be a cloaked customer on a monthly basis, and what's the transfer cost from their current provider? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the when anyone want to join cloaked wireless kind of has two options. They can get a new number, or they can port over their existing number from their existing provider. Some folks who join Cloaked Wireless just want a secure second SIM. So they just want a low-cost plan that they can receive SMSs on, maybe get a voice two-factor authentication that they can pick up and answer, but not have it be their primary wireless line. So for folks like that, we've got a $25 a month plan. It includes 500 megabytes of high-speed data, unlimited data after that high-speed limit, but just throttled it at 256K. And then that one includes unlimited SMS and 120 minutes of voice. So that's a great one for kind of a secure second SIM that you're just going to use for all your online stuff, but you use your other phone number for your primary. The other option is to bring your number over, right? And there's no cost to do that. It usually happens within a couple of hours of going through the flow. And then your phone number goes from your previous provider and it gets ported over to Cloaked Wireless. And for folks that want to bring their number over, they can also, use that $25 plan if they don't have a big cell phone usage. Otherwise, we've got a plan that has a little bit more high-speed data. So we've got a 10-gigabyte plan, a 20-gigabyte plan, and then for heavy users, we've got a 60-gigabyte plan. And so those plans all give you that amount amount of high speed 5G data. And then if you ever go over that in a month, you still have unlimited data. It's again, just throttled at that lower speed. So our objective was really to be, you know, in line with what you pay with, you know, providers like Verizon or T-Mobile. We wanted to make sure that there was a variety of plans and not just say, hey, we're, you know, this is the one plan that you can have. But we also just wanted to be able to say, listen, what we want to give from an experience perspective is you pay about the same, you have the same coverage, except now you just get privacy and security included at no extra cost. Mm-hmm. Like that's ultimately what we want for our customers. And that's how we've kind of shaped our plans.
So you just recently launched, as we've already talked about, and obviously you're celebrating that and you're building on the launch. I'm sure you're also thinking towards the future, even as you're looking, you know, to what you're currently doing and very excited about it. So what is the future for Cloaked Wireless and your larger company?
Yeah, for sure. So you know, Cloaked Wireless is you know, we're focusing on rolling out some of those features I talked about. We're building out a great affiliate program, as well as really starting to talk to businesses about, you know, our B2B transactions and making sure that we get penetration there. For Cloaked Services, which is the parent company, our other product is the Cloaked Network. So this is an open source product that we're in the process of developing. And the idea with that is that it becomes a kind of a Bitcoin incentivized VPN solution that is open sourced, ultimately a replacement for Tor, right? And so the way this works is, in the simplest term, is that you'd have a client where you could load Bitcoin into it. That Bitcoin would be exchanged for a Shomian Mint, which is basically an anonymous token that represents your Bitcoin that you exchanged. And then you use these tokens to exchange with node operators who anonymize and transfer your data packets. So you have this kind of ecosystem of these three things moving back and forth, small payments in order to navigate the network. And so instead of paying $5 for a VPN solution every month that works sometimes and doesn't work other times, you'd pay $3 a month to use this solution that is completely anonymous, more anonymous than Tor or any VPN solution. There's no middleman. It's completely open source and operates almost like a protocol. And it really would enable, you know, people around the world to be able to connect to the internet anonymously without fear of government or any other type of oversight over what they're doing. So we're really excited about the potential of the Cloaked Network, and Cloaked Wireless really enables us to fund the development of that open source project a little quicker. So That's kind of how those things complement each other. And again, ultimately, there is a kind of an end game where we could see these two products overlap, where those node operators could upgrade hardware and have a micro cell connectivity from their node, which would broadcast to Cloaked Wireless users who could then connect through that node and have truly private connectivity of wireless connectivity that isn't sitting on the backbone of the big three providers. So much further down the road, first things first, but that's kind of the long-term vision, and we're already starting work on advancing the Cloaked Network at this point, which is really exciting.
And you say long-term vision, are we talking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? What's your vision for kind of building out the business to where you'd like it to be, at least as you're conceptualizing it right now, because things may change between now and whenever it is in the future?
Yeah, I think we would love to see the initial launch of the Cloaked Network by the end of this year. Mm-hmm. So we've already built out a POC for it. I think within a 5-year time frame, if both products see the success that we hope they will, that's really the horizon where we see that those two products coming together and ultimately, you know, being able to launch what would effectively be the third, MNO in the country, just done with a completely different backbone and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And without having to invest billions and billions of dollars and throwing up towers everywhere across the nation.
Yeah. Great. Well, I appreciate you sharing about Cloaked Wireless today. You have any final thoughts, Jeremy, as we're finishing up the conversation? Maybe, you know, things we didn't talk about or places you'd like for people to go to find out more about Cloaked?
Yeah, so you can obviously go to cloakedwireless.com to check out the service. I think if I were to leave you with one thing, I think it's there's a real need for us to normalize privacy. And I think, you know, if folks want to check out something, I'd highly recommend the Cypherpunk Manifesto by Eric Hughes. It's got some wise things to say about that. And I think, you know, specifically, privacy isn't secrecy. Right? Privacy is the ability to control what other people know about you, not to keep them from knowing anything about you. And I think that's important to remember.
Great. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Josh. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Jeremy, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you want to try Cloak for yourself, use code BIZBIT2024 for 25% off. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.